Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Psalm 1. Let us read Psalm 1. Please follow as I read to you Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. May God once again bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. We live and we die. This is the road tread by all men without exception. This is the inevitable way of all sinners because of sin. Death entered into mankind. But death is not the end. It's only the beginning of eternity. It is either eternity in heaven with God or eternity in hell, in the lake of fire, suffering unending pain and torment. But in heaven, eternal bliss in God's holy presence. Our destiny is determined by how we live this life. For the moment we breathe our last breath, the way that we have chosen to live this life on this earth will fix our eternal destiny forever. Therefore, you and I cannot say we live this life any way we like. It matters. It makes a world of difference how we live this life. If we live it as a man eating, drinking, and make merry, pretending that there is no tomorrow. We eat, we drink, and then we die, and we become nothing. We fool ourselves, because that is a lie of Satan. After we die, it is a beginning of eternity, in the presence of God, or in the lake of fire. We need to know which way we are treading. There is no third way. There are only two ways. The way of death or the way of life. There is no middle ground. To choose not the way of life is to choose the way of death. You and I must make this journey alone. Our parents, no matter how much they may love us, cannot make this journey on our behalf. We have to make this decision ourselves. The 16th century reformer Martin Luther said it well. Every man must do two things alone. He must do his own believing and his own dying. The choice that you make in this life is your own choice. You blame it on no one but yourself if you choose the way of death. Tonight we are going to examine the two ways, the way of death and the way of life. What exactly is involved in the way of death? Psalm 1, verse 1, verse 4 and verse 5 describe for us the way of death. Verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 1 describe for us the way of life. And the contrast will be made very clear to us in verse 6 by God Himself. Now let us examine the way of death. And by examining the way of death, if we are treading on the way of death, it is not too late to change. All you need to do is to repent and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior from your heart. And the way of death will cease from henceforth. And then you can begin on the new way, the way of life. The way of death in verse 1 tells us that it is a way of gradual decay. How did the Bible describe it? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means the person who is not blessed is the one who will walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he will next stand in the way of sinners. And after standing, he will sit in the seat of the scornful. Now you can see this gradual decline. When a person walks in the counsel of the ungodly, it speaks of movement. He is not standing still. He observes and he listens to the counsel of the ungodly. Now the word ungodly simply describes for us a person who is morally wrong. He is just a bad person. And the philosophies of the world will come from such ungodly person. They may not be criminals. They may not be charged in court. They are just people who are morally depraved. And they will give their philosophies and they will tell us how to live our lives. They will tell us what is good for us and what is not good for us. And there are many who will listen. Listen to the counsel of the ungodly. That's what it means by walking. You would pattern your life according to their counsel. They will control your entertainment. For example, they will tell you what is good for you and what is not good for you to watch. They are known as the Academic Award Councils. They will tell you what is a good movie, because they will award good movies according to their standard with certain awards. And they are supposed to be the best, the Academic Awards. Not too long ago, they gave 3 Academy Awards to the movie called Brokeback Mountain. Strange name, isn't it? But it is a movie that talks about gay cowboys. 2 men who were gays, and they fell in love. They received 3 Academy Awards, as well as 4 Golden Globe Awards. I got this from the internet. I did not watch the movie, by the way, just to let you know. How many of you watch it? Because 3 Academy Awards, you know, it must be a good movie. It is art. We are watching it because it is art. Men and men kissing in the movies, according to the internet. Disgusting, you may say, but millions of dollars have been made through this movie. They set the standard, and we follow the way of death. We walk by their counsel, that's what it means. They tell us how we ought to dress, and we dress according to their counsel. Today, it is low-cut pants, pants that are cut very low. Why do they do that? Well, that's the way. That's the fashion. And so you have young girls, young boys, wearing pants that are a couple of size too big. And even if you wear one that fits you nicely, it is cut so low that it is indecent. Modesty is not what is liked by today's society. It is to be as outlandish as possible, because that's the counsel of the ungodly, and we listen to their counsel. Therefore, we walk accordingly. Parents find it so hard to teach our children not to buy nor to wear such garments. They won't listen, because young people love to be in, to be in fashion, to be like the rest of their friends, to be dressed like their friends, their school attire, dressed like the rest of their friends, because that is cool, that is hip. Maybe the terms that I use are already outdated. These are my terms, my century. Nowadays, they say, oh, you look so bad, means you look good. That's the new term today, isn't it? And so young people, they say things that people like myself don't understand. The SMS messages that needs to be deciphered, because you don't know what they are trying to tell you. They use three consonants with no vowels and supposed to have some meaning. Can't even pronounce it, but never mind, young people understand such message. That's the counsel of the world. They live and they speak in language, in jargon, but more importantly, they think according to the counsel of the ungodly, because that's how they walk. That's how they live. Fashion controls and dictates the way that we dress. Oh, we call ourselves Christians, but we don't dress like Christians, because Christians are guided by one word, modesty. That's what the Bible teaches us, modesty. One word, very simple. You don't go by the fashion of the world, you go by modesty. But we don't care. We listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We walk accordingly. The way of death. Very subtle, very slippery. You look at the hairstyle of the young people. You look at the places the young people visit. With no qualms, they would go clubbing. Why? Because that's where you rub shoulders with the right crowd. You drink, you make merry. They smoke, you smoke. They use foul language, you use foul language. They swear, you swear. They watch RA movies, you watch RA movies. There is no modesty, there is no sense of right and wrong, or what is moral or immoral. Why? Because the counsel comes from the ungodly, and we walk accordingly. And the frightening thing is, we don't stop there. The next decline, decay, we stand in the way of the sinners. Now the word sinners is different from the word ungodly. They are far worse. It is a group that describes someone who has been judged and been condemned. He has been weighed. He has been found wanting. That's the term for this word, sinners. He is worse than the ungodly. He has been scrutinized, he has been carefully checked out, and he is found to be a sinner, a terrible person. Characterized by sin is his life, it is language. And here we have the same person who at first walked in the way of the ungodly, who follows as it were from a distance. By his lifestyle, he follows from a distance. But now the Bible says he stands in the way of sinners. He stands still now. He doesn't mind being identified with them, in other words. It is as if he wants to establish in the lifestyle, in the way of the people, in the thinking. It's as if he's wearing a t-shirt to say, I am a sinner, I am like the rest of the world. And some people have no problem wearing t-shirts that advertise certain alcoholic drinks. This particular beer. Christians should not wear this kind of shirts. You have to be very careful, very sensitive to what you are identifying yourselves with. But the t-shirt is free, it's double knitted, it's very comfortable. That's beside the point, isn't it? But that's what it means. You stand in the way of sinners. You want to identify yourself with them. Saying out loud, at first you dress like them. You won't dare to say that you are one of them. You dress like them. Oh, I'm still a Christian. But now, you go one step further into the world. You stand in their way. So that when they cross their path, you are there. You want to be identified with them. Does that not frighten you? It all begins with just dressing according to their counsel. But now you are identifying with them. And the decay will go one step further. You sit in the seat of the scornful. Now you sit down. What do you do when you sit down? You plan with them. First, you dress like them. You live like them. Next, you identify with them. And then, worse still, you plan with them. And the word that is used to describe these people, scornful. This third verb is the most intimate of all the three actions in identifying with the way of death. The most intimate. In the first instance, they imitate their way of life. The second, they stand to clearly identify themselves with these sinners. But in this particular instance, they plan with them. The verb is used also to describe a person living or dwelling in the house of someone. That's the word sitteth. You live in the same house. You invite them to your home. You sit down, you discuss plans, how to do more evil things, how to cause others to stumble. In this case, it is with a scornful. To sit down is to sit, to love, to accept the person, to embrace the person, to acknowledge the person. And the word for scornful is the words of all three. It comes from the root word describing someone who's trying to interpret a foreign language. His mouth seems to move in a strange way. Let's say you do not speak that language. All you see is the mouth moving. That's a scorner. He doesn't say anything. He just makes his mouth move. Oh yeah? Make his mouth move. That's a scorner. Literally it means to make mouths. All kinds of mouth. You say, come. Come to church with me. That's the thing. Make mouth. Make a lot of mouth. That's what it means. He sneers at people. His facial features, in particular his mouth, are contorted to show contempt. And here we have the person sitting there planning with such people. Identifying, now planning. Gradual decay. If you do not nip it in the bud, if you do not stop right there by not walking with them, that's the only way to stop it. If you are already sitting down and planning with them, it is still not too late. You can stop it right now. Get yourself away from such people. Far, far away from them. Don't go near them. They will destroy you. They will destroy your precious life. If you are beginning to dress like them, think like them, thinking that by identifying yourself in the way that you speak, in the way that you live, especially young people in schools, in secondary schools, you are very, very impressionable. Young people, because you don't want to be an outcast. You want to be with a group of friends who are considered in the school as special. And so they will want you to be special like them. They may even want you to steal as an initiation act to join their club, their group. How sad, isn't it? A young life could be so easily ruined. The way of death is a way of gradual decay. Please, therefore, do not say, never mind, it's only a hairstyle. Never mind, it's only a t-shirt. Never mind, it's only a pair of pants. It's only a pair of socks. It's only a short skirt. Never mind. But that's how it all started, isn't it? These people did not overnight started to sit with the scornful, to sit in their seat, to plan with them, to become one of them. They all started with simply identifying with them in the common things. That does not seem to matter so much. But the little things we do have very far-reaching consequences. And by the time you are in so deep, the impact and the people you stumble around you, especially when you say that I am a Christian, you will realize that Christians do not behave this way. Remember the passage that we read earlier from Matthew 7? It's not what you say that makes you a Christian, dear friends. You can be found in a very fundamental church, the most fundamental church in the whole world, and you may be bombarded by fundamental messages week in and week out for the past 10, 20 years of your life, and it will still not make you a Christian. That's what Matthew 7 tells us. It's not what you hear that makes you a Christian. It's not what you say that makes you a Christian. It's what you do according to God's Word. Whether you reflect the Word of God, whether you reflect Christ in your life, that makes you a Christian. Because there is an actual, real transformation in a person's life. Because you are changed inside, and therefore the outward life must reflect the holy person that you are inside. And that is modesty. How you are outside matters. Please don't say, I can dress any way I like when I come to church. It's in my heart that matters. You want to show love to your wife, you don't go and photocopy a rose, do you? You can tell your wife, very colorful, you know. Right? Laser printed.
It's the thought that counts, right? Doesn't matter. It's still a rose. You can frame it up. Right or not? So I never give my wife a photocopy. Actually, I don't give my wife a rose at all. Not the kind. She doesn't like roses anyway. True or not true? We fool ourselves when we think that a little bit of sin does not matter. It matters a whole lot. Do not walk in the way of death. It is a sure way of decay and it will destroy. You may repent, yes. But if you have not started on the road and you walk on the road and you repent later on, but what about those years that you have wasted? Those years will not come back to you. Those years that you have lived a debaucherous life, no matter how you may repent, you won't come back to you. All you can do is, I wish, O Lord, I wish I had not done those things. Yes, you may wish. We had an FEBC student from Africa. He came to study because he was called by the Lord to study. And as usual, all foreign students, all students actually, including Singaporean students, they have to go for a medical examination. And he went for a medical examination and lo and behold, he was discovered to be HIV positive. So what do you do? He was asked to go back home. He could not stay in the college. And he went back to his own country. Was he saved? Yes. Was he called? Yes. He said he was called. A few months later, or a few years later, he died. Those years that he lived, a life of debauchery, just because you became a believer later on does not mean that the consequences of sin will not come back and haunt you and make you pay the price of that sin. The best is do not enter into this way of death. It is a way of gradual decay. And if you do not listen and you want to go on in this way of gradual decay, then you enter into the way of grandiose vanity. Because that's what the world is telling us. It is a way of grandiose vanity. It looks so good. It looks so bright. It looks so delicious. But at the end of it, it is vanity. The Bible describes it, it is like chaff. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The way of life looks and feels good and resembles a real thing. It is a good life. That's how you find in magazines, advertisements, all these beautiful, expensive, luxurious apartments. True? All the expensive electronic goods, expensive watches, expensive holidays and all these things, and they will try to imprint into our mind, into our very depths of our souls, that if you can afford these things, you have arrived. Did you check the last time whether your name is in Forbes books of billionaires? I checked, mine was in it. No, like I don't even know where to find that book. I don't even know what it looks like. You see, they will put these people on the pedestal. Who is the most marketable sportsman? Who is the highest paid actor? Who is the richest man in Singapore? Who is, and this and that. And when all these are bombarding our minds since we were young, and now, very soon as we grow up, it affects. Parents, we think this way, and that's what we push and push and gear our children in that direction. Not to serve the Lord, not to equip them to serve the Lord, but to equip them to all these grandiose vanity. To be this and that, to live it up, to have lots of money, to make it big. Six-figure salary every month. Oh, people are so, so excited about how much sportsmen make. It is said that Tiger Woods earns so much money and he wants so much money and he makes so much money that they calculated that every stroke he hits, based upon the dollars, the millions he made every year, every stroke equals to $1,000. That's how they calculated
the number of strokes that he used to win tournaments compared to the amount of money he wins every year. You divide it, $1,000 a stroke. How fast is one stroke? Split second, $1,000. Another stroke, $2,000. You're amazed by it? The world is, that's why they make all these calculations. And then when you read it, wow, if only it happens to me. And so many parents push their young boys and young girls, play golf now. What's the purpose? Because they're going to be great Christian golfers? No, they're going to be the next Tiger Woods. And then you have girls to be Tigress Woods. I mean, girls have to be girls, right? For what purpose? To make more money. Grandiose vanity is imprinted into our mindset in the 21st century. And you young people, when you go out to work, to study, what do? What fills your mind when you study? You go after the world, it is chaff. Chaff is that outward useless skin that covers the kernel, the grain. And what they did in the past, when they do winnowing, they will go to a hilltop or some high ground, and then they will wait for the wind to come. And they will estimate where is the direction of the wind. And then they will put all their harvested grain on this wicker basket. And then skillfully they will just flick it up. And then in the direction of the wind, the moment the wind blows, the kernel, it's heavier, denser, it will fall back down. Whereas the chaff, when it is shaken, it is loosened from the kernel, it will go up together with the rest. And the moment the wind blows, the chaff is just blown away, useless, nobody wants it. It will be simply driven away. That's it. That's the life that the world is dangling in front of us. It is a grandiose vanity. That's all. It is. It looks good. It is part of the grain, they may argue. It is part of the life that is to be lived out. It is so good. But at the end of it, can you take any of the cars with you? Can you take any of the dollars with you? You came into this world naked and you're going to leave this world just as naked as you enter it. Whether they bury you in a diamond-studded coffin or a coffin made of plywood, you are still dead. It is a way of grandiose vanity, isn't it? Is that not true? So why clamor for it? Why go after it? A way of gradual decay, it will ruin your life. And at the end of your life, and all you can see is vanity of vanities, all, everything else. This vanity, there's nothing solid, nothing concrete that you can take with you. That's the life, the way of death. And parents, we must make sure that we prepare our children the spiritual way, not the carnal way, not the way of death. But to do that, we must walk the way of life ourselves. We must know the way of life. Because this way of grandiose vanity will also lead us to the way of gargantuan loss. Humongous loss. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now the word stand here in verse 5 is different from the word stand in verse 1. The word stand in verse 1 just simply standing still. But the word stand in verse 5 is a different word. It means to rise up to make good. To be acknowledged as one who has done good by God. Because it is a day of judgment. God's judgment. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. It will be standing before God and God will say to you, you have made good. Now that's the word stand. Rise up, you have done well. Public acknowledgement of one who has done well. And here the Bible says, you will not stand in the judgment. You're going to face the music. And how will this not stand explain itself? Sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You will not be found there. This is a synonymous parallelism. Two different phrases to describe the same idea. That is, you will be cast out. You will be judged and you're going to be condemned by God because you have lived a profligate life. A life of debauchery, a life of vanity, a life of emptiness. Because all you have done when you tread this life, you have tread on the way of death.
That's it. That's the bottom line. Don't go this way, dear friends. If you are walking along this way, stop it right now. The only way you can stop it, the only one who can take you out is the Lord Jesus Christ. You change to any other religion. You are an atheist and now you want to believe in one other religion. Don't believe anyone else other than Jesus Christ. Because to believe in anyone else, you are not changing way, you are only changing lane. It is still the broad way. Matthew 7 tells us the broad way or the narrow way. The broad way has many lanes. You just change from an atheist to another religion, it's the changing lane. It is still the broad way. You must change to the right way, and that is the narrow way, and that is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the founder who has died for our sins. And God accepted what He has done, and God raised Him from the dead. The only founder who was raised from the dead. And He is the Son of God Himself, who came down to this world to die for you, because He loved you. That's the only way to walk the way of life. So what then is the way of life? Verse 2 describes for us the way of life. But His delight, that is, the one who walks the way of life, His delight, that is His desire, is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. The previous was the way of the world, this is the way of the Word. The way of life is not something subjective, it's not up to you and me to pick and choose. It is not something that is of this earth. It is the way of the Word. And the Word is the Bible, the Scriptures. And it came from God. It came from heaven. God gave it to us. God inspired it, preserved it perfectly for us so that you can read it, digest it. And it is to be the milk and meat to the soul of everyone who walks the way of life. It is the way of the Word. No other way. You want to know the way of life? It is patterned after the Word of God. You study the Word of God. There must be a thirst and hunger for the Word of God. That's what the Bible says. Those who tread the way of life. 1 Peter 2 tells us that it is like new babes, sincere milk, which is the Word of God that we must all love. And then as you mature, as you grow, the milk will turn to meat. You will want to know more and study more and to love the Word of God more. There is a hunger for the Word. Thank God that you came. Week after week you come. Why? Hope it is not because of some other reason other than because you love the Lord and you love His Word. There is a genuine, sincere desire for the Word of God. That's the way of life. Because that's the meaning of the word delight there. And how does He delight in God's Word? He meditates on it constantly, day and night. He is soaked by the Word of God. He thinks according to the Word of God. When you think according to the Word of God, do you know what that means? You think like God. You think the way that God wants you to think. That's the meaning of meditating upon the Word of God day and night. See, for many of us, we meditate upon what kind of menu to eat, what kind of physical food, what kind of things make me tick. What kind of things that will make my taste buds dance? These are the things that make us so delightful, desire after. But the Word of God, how many of us truly meditate upon the Word of God where we truly sincerely say, I love the Word of God. In this church, we have the DHW program. When it first started many years ago, we had quite a large number of people. Today, it had dwindled down to maybe 20-30%, even less than 30%. What happened? Can't sustain because it's too demanding. The DHW requires the members who join the group to study the Word of God every day. They'll be assigned certain reading materials, certain questions to answer. And then on Sunday, they will come and discuss and share. And many of them who will not do their homework, they dare not come and share because they will be at a loss. They do not know what to do. What happened? When will you stop eating? Right now, I think some of us are already thinking of where to go for dinner. Why don't we stop eating? Somehow or other, the physical hunger is always stronger than the spiritual hunger. The physical thirst stronger than the spiritual thirst. You go to our homes and you can see that. Our kitchen, our larder is full of food, canned food, instant noodle, all kinds of food, to make sure that we will not go hungry. It's as if we are preparing for war. And then you look at the house, where do I find all the Christian library books that will help me understand the Bible better? Practically none. True, that's what you find in most Singaporean homes. The home of people who tell a lot of stories about what is important, what is not important to them. You read a Bible verse, don't understand, never mind. Right? Is that not true of us? But the way of life tells us it is the way of the Word. There must be a search, there must be a hunger for the Word. You do not know something about the Word of God, you can't sleep. You must find the answer. You must know the answer. John chapter 21 verse 11 says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Why did Jesus tell us that Peter numbered the fish in the net that he caught? 153. Not 154, not 152, 153. Exactly 153, and the net was about to break. Now what does this verse mean? Why did God give the number? It seems redundant. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and for all there were so many, yet was not yet broken. Is that not enough? Why must the number 150 and 3 be inserted? Definitely not a mistake. There must be a purpose. And many of us read it, never mind 153. I'm not a fisherman. I'm an IT expert. Never mind. True? Somebody tells us, there is somewhere in Johor Bahru a fish, a particular bowl of laksa that when you taste it, it will bring you to the seventh heaven. Where? Oh, they only open at 1 a.m. Never mind 1 a.m. also, I will go. And so you will sleep at 8 p.m., you'll wake up at 12 midnight, and you will bring your wife along and you'll drive. Jam, never mind, I will win and I will go. I must taste that bowl of laksa. Must. And with the word of God, I taste, never mind, no taste. Doesn't matter. That's the way of life, dear friends. Are we on the way of life or are we on the way of death? You call yourself a Christian, it makes no difference. If we are treading on the way of death, you can call all you want, you can get the whole world to stand behind you and say that you are a Christian, but if you are not, you are not. Because the only one that matters is God's opinion. It's God's word. It's God's judgment. The rest of the world, no count. If you say you are treading on the way of life, then there must be this thirst, this hunger, this desire for the word of God. And when the word of God comes under attack, you defend it. We defend our name more than we defend the name of Christ. We defend our own words more than we defend the word of God, to our shame. But the way of life will cause us to have a totally different view or perspective of the word of God. We meditate upon it day and night, constantly, continuously, day and night. We think on the word of God. It soaks our thinking, our behavior, our conduct. The word of God. That's the way of life. And because of that, it will lead us to the way of fruitfulness. Verse 3. And he shall therefore be like a tree planted by the rivers. Plural, not one. Most trees are planted by one river. But Bible says, if you are a person who is walking along the way of life, you are like a tree planted by the rivers, plural, of water. That means you will never, never run out of sustenance. You will bring forth your fruit in his season. At the right time, you will bear fruit. We're not talking about making money. We're talking about transformation in the person's character and the person's life. In God's time, you will grow, you will be transformed, because the word of God will slowly change your way of thinking. Supernaturally, you will be transformed, you will change. Your ambition will become Christ-like. It will become God-centered. Your whole perspective of life will be transformed. You will be even more hardworking than before, because in the past, you pursue after excellence for dollars and cents for mammon. Now you pursue after excellence for the glory of your Lord, the Savior Jesus Christ, that people will know that as a child of God, we do nothing half measure. Everything must be done to the best of our ability, because Christ's name is now at stake. In the past, it's my name. Now it's Christ's name, and His name means more to me than anything else. The way of fruitfulness. And His leaf also shall not wither. Most trees, other than evergreen, their leaf will wither. But that of a Christian, it will not wither. If you constantly study the Word of God, your growth curve will continue to go upward. There should not be a period of waywardness in the believer's life unless you stop walking the way of the Word. You stop reading God's Word. You stop studying God's Word. You stop meditating upon God's Word. If you meditate upon God's Word all the time, you will never go wayward. Never. And it is not supposed to be the way for every Christian. The way that God has for us is to keep on growing, keep on changing, becoming more and more like Christ. And the more holy you become, the more sensitive you'll be to sin. And the further you would stay away from sin. Because you are now so sensitive. When sin is just a small little speck, you are very aware of it. Last time, sin has to be the size of an elephant before you are aware of it. But as you grow, as you become more and more like Christ, you become sensitive to sin. And that's why Paul says in Romans 7, I am carnal, present tense, I am carnal. Please don't equate when Paul says, I am carnal, with what you and I say, I am carnal. You and I, when say, I am carnal, we are really carnal. When he says, I am carnal, he is very sensitive to sin because he pursues after the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. And he is so full of the Spirit of God and so knowledgeable concerning the Word of God that for a person like Paul, the slightest semblance of sin, he would say, oh, this is so sinful. For us, we want to go as close to sin before we see, oh yeah, this is sin. But then too late, isn't it? We got burned. Paul's different. A life of fruitfulness. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It will be successful. Successful in what sense? Successful in the sense of Scripture. That it will be a life that will glorify the Lord. It will be a life that will bring glory to Christ's name. That's the prosperity that we all long for. This is similar to what you read in Joshua, isn't it? That's what God said to Joshua. Whatever you do, it will be prosperous. In Joshua chapter 1, be strong and of good courage. You meditate upon the Word of God, and whatever you do, it will be prosperous. You're going to find victory over sin, over testings, over trials. No matter how difficult the trial would be, you keep close to the Lord, you meditate upon the Lord. That's the way of life. Simple, isn't it? It's the way of the Word, and it's the way of fruitfulness. There will be a transformation in your life that will be so evident. Your friends, your parents especially, will be able to see it because they will see the change. Once upon a time, lazy, sloppy, now transformed, hardworking, diligent, honest. Temper under control, well-mannered, careful with the words, careful with the life, careful with the friends, modest in speech, in life, in dressing, in everything. The way of death or the way of life? The eternal contrast, verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of righteousness, for the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows who these people are right now and for all eternity. He tells us that He knows the way of the righteous intimately and personally. He means that He has fellowship with the righteous. God deliberately used the word Lord, Jehovah, to describe His relationship with, for this is His covenantal name. I know them. But the ungodly will perish in His way. It is not that God does not know His way, for God is omniscient. He knows them. He knows their very presence. But what is meant here is that God has no fellowship with them. He doesn't know them. Like what we have read earlier in Matthew 7. They may claim and say, I have prophesied in Christ's name. I have done miracles in Christ's name. I have cast out demons in Christ's name. And these were all the acts of even an apostle. And Jesus, without hesitation, without even a break, just as the way Greek
phrase it in Matthew 7:22-23. Even before the last syllable came out of these people who clamor and say, I done this, I done that. Even before the last syllable came out, Jesus immediately without hesitation say, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Instantaneously, no hesitation. I've never known you and I do not know you now. Leave. You are nothing but a laborer or worker, a hard worker maybe, but a laborer of sin, of iniquities. God knows them. God gave us the contrast. That God says, if you walk the way of life, you are blessed. The word blessed there is more than just being happy. The word blessed there describes someone who is good intrinsically. Because when a person becomes a Christian, God says, you are now good. And that's why whatever you can do will be classified under good works. You are saved unto good works. Why? Because now you are a child of God. You are a good person. That's how the Bible describes us. In 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We live, we die. Where we end up for all eternity depends on how we live before we die. Which way are we treading on right now? Dear friends, you know and the Lord knows. The way of death leads to the lake of fire that burneth for all eternity, a place of torment, a place of pain. But the way of life is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, a way in God's holy presence for all eternity. What you and I decide in this life is the choice we make, is the way that we have taken. Choose it well. Choose the way of life. And beware of the deception that is found in the way of death. It looks attractive, but it is nothing but grandiose vanity. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, open our eyes, O Lord, that we may see through the vanities that are all around us, and grant us the strength and the courage to walk the way of life and depart from the way of death. We pray this, O Lord, for the sake of thy only begotten Son. May thou hear our cry. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.